You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. And I'm so happy to be back again. I'll call it live behind the microphones here, recording a new program in the book of Acts. I say live because you've been hearing a lot of the Sunday sermons from my church, because I just haven't been behind the microphones here recording a new program in Acts, and that's what we're going to do here today. Let's pick it up here in chapter 15. We're going to look at the famous, the Jerusalem Council, the very first church meeting, and we'll get to that here in a moment. For the rest of this week, starting tomorrow, I want to play something, a sermon I just preached on Sunday, just a few days back. And that is a new one now from this series, What Will Be the Sign of Your Coming and at the End of the Age? With this coronavirus running wild, I thought it's high time once again. You know, but this time, because I've preached this before, I know this text like the back of my hand, but I don't want to rely on old notes and stuff. I want to go at this fresh and pray for insight and revelation knowledge from the Lord and see where He wants to go. And that's what you're going to hear Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday here on WGOD Radio. Will be, again, from that series, What Will Be the Sign of Your Coming at the End of the Age? Of course, prefaced with the take heed that no man deceive you. And I finally have come to the realization that to be deceived is to think that the signs don't amount to a hill of beans. What will be the sign of your coming, the end of the age? Take heed that no man deceive you. For, now he's going to get into it, what it is to be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, or I am the Messiah. Don't believe it. These are some of the things. Take heed that no man deceive you. Wars and rumors of wars. Then he talks about famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. And our common response is, well, those things have always going on, have always been taking place. And that's the wrong answer. These are signs. You see, wars and rumors of wars is because there's no peace in the world. And there's no peace because the Prince of Peace has left this world, but he's coming back again. And when he comes back, he will restore peace once again. Think, too, about the rainbow. You know, we look at a rainbow, and sometimes we blow it off. I hope you don't, and I hope you stop and remember. Now, a rainbow sometimes represents something different, but not with God. You see, for the rainbow is a promise that God made that he was not going to destroy this world by a flood again. And take heed that you're not deceived. When you see the rainbow, it's not just one of those things. It's a reminder that God is still in control and that God is full of mercy and grace and that he keeps his promises. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now here, likewise, these signs aren't just one of those things. They're the signs the Lord gave. Take heed that no man deceive you. These are signs that he's coming back. Wars and rumors of wars. There's unrest in this world, and there's no peace. And the Prince of Peace is coming back soon, and he's going to restore the peace. And famines and pestilences. Look now, it just every day it gets worse and worse with this pestilence. This pestilence is stopping the world from functioning pretty much. It's stopping things all over the world from taking. This is the greatest single example of pestilence since the Black Plague is what we're seeing now. And it's not just one of those things. It's a sign that Jesus' return is near. If you'd like a copy of that CD, well, first of all, you can go to WGODradio.com, click on the link that says prior broadcasts. You'll find it up there. If you're a Facebook type of person, go to WGOD Radio on Facebook, like the page, download the program. You'll see it up there. What'll be the sign of your coming? Pestilence. Or listen right here to this radio station. It'll be playing Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We're going to go on now with this program here, the Jerusalem Council from Acts chapter 15. Here today, Acts chapter 15. It's going to start with this legitimate question. Verse 1, now certain men came down from Judea, and they taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. That's chapter 15, verse 1. Unless you're circumcised, they said, you can't be saved. Now here today, or at least in this chapter, we're going to look at the very first church meeting known as the Jerusalem Council. But why would these people say that? Why would these supposed Christians say that? Well, because God said as much back in the Old Testament, back in Genesis chapter 17, the Lord says, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And then this is chapter 17, verses 10 through 14. And in verse 14, God says, whoever is not circumcised, that person shall be cut off from his people, and he's broken my covenant. Now, to refuse this would make that person a castaway and an outcast and no longer a member of the family of God. So this is where this question came from. Now, remember, these Jews, I mean, circumcision was the Old Testament faith. It was built on this. So this was very, very difficult for them to hear that circumcision didn't matter. I mean, think about the astronomical statement the Apostle Paul would say as he wrote to the Galatians, circumcision availeth nothing. But faith working through love, it meant nothing in the New Testament because there's been a change of covenants. We'll get to that here coming up. But let's look at how they address this question. Verse 2, now when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way to the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Now, when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. And they declared all things that God had done with them. But there arose up a certain sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Okay, now there's the rub. Do you and I as Christians, do you and I still need to keep the Old Testament law or not? Here we see an argument coming, and it's a 2,000-year-old argument because that argument's still going on today. Verse 6, now the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledge them by giving them the Holy Spirit as he did to us and he made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. All right, now Peter here is making a distinction between law and faith, and certainly this was a burden that they could not bear. This is a burden that no one could bear, and that's what it was designed to be all along. The law was never designed for you to be able to keep it. It was designed for you to recognize that you can't keep it and that you stand condemned before Almighty God, who said to Abraham, "Walk before me and be thou perfect." What are you going to do? You are a sinner. This was the intention of the law, is to drive you to your knees and shout out to God like the Apostle Paul did, who said, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" This was the purpose of the law. Paul wrote, the law was our, the Greek word is paedagogos, it's schoolmaster. The law, sometimes translated tutor, it's someone who was in charge of a child up until they reached a certain age, where then it would deliver that child back to his father and he would be all reared up and all ready to go. The law was our tutor, our schoolmaster, to lead us to Christ. And that text goes on, so that we might be justified by faith. That's Galatians 3, verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law was never designed to save you. The law was designed to condemn you. The Apostle Paul calls the Old Testament law a ministry of death. And he also said that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The law is not designed to save you. You can never keep the law. Neither are you intended to keep the law. The Bible's explicit in that you are no longer under the law. Romans chapter 6, the whole book of Galatians, you have been set free from that. You'll still keep the things written in the law, but it's because of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you now, not by following a law speed limit sign or a law sign that says thou shalt not. You've got the law now engraved in your heart, and you don't want to do those things, but you are no longer under this law here. And this is what this council was all about. These Jews said, you must be circumcised in order to be saved. And that's what we're looking at here with this Jerusalem council. We'll pick it up again here on Monday, and we're going to look at this question again. Do I have to keep the law in order to be right with God? That's probably, well, that is exactly where we'll pick it up here in our next program. Going through Acts chapter 15. In verse 9, as Peter says, that God makes no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith, as he does ours. For it's by grace you've been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. We're at a time, you're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.